Okay.
Okay. We will, it's 8:32 on the clock. We will call to order the Board of Equalization. The open, for Wednesday, March 15th, 2017. We will, the Opens Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, and Byers. And Byers, I have to maintain the whole site over there by himself today, it looks like, for a little while. No, here's Lytle. We have Lytle, too, now. So Tiemann will be missing for a good part of the meeting. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove agenda as presented.
I would move to approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Bauman. Vote. Need to change Tiemann's there if you can.
That's Juergens.
That's Juergens.
Well. He has two, but Tiemann's not here either.
So. You got a conflict.
You read it.
This way? There you go.
There you go.
6-0 in favor. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove minutes of the previous meeting.
I would move to approve the minutes of the previous meeting.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Bauman. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Seeing none, we'll move on. Entertain a motion to open a public hearing for Blue Valley Behavioral Health for a vehicle exemption.
We move to open a public hearing.
I steal something.
Second.
A motion by Bauman, seconded by Hill at 8:33 on the clock. Vote. 6-0 in favor. And this is Blue Valley Behavioral Health. A 2017 Ford that registration date was 2/16/17. And it doesn't list any. Oh no, the 27 motor vehicle tax would be $420, and then another $20 for vehicle fee, motor vehicle fee. So we're exempting $440. Any other questions, or anybody want to see it? Or
a motion to close the public hearing.
A motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
So a motion by Bauman, second by Lytle at 8:34 on the clock. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Don, you have somebody looking at you over there.
Mm-hmm. So, thank you.
Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove the exempting the vehicle for a qualifying non-profit organization, which is Blue Valley Behavioral Health.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Byers, second. No, motion by Bauman, seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Patty?
Basically just working on our evaluations and have to have a report to the state by Monday. Try to get it in on Friday and hope everything's okay.
What does it look like? I mean, what are we doing? I have all kinds of people asking me about
eggland. Oh, I'm sure you do. So do I. I'm not raising eggland this year.
Not raising eggland?
Nope. Irrigated's going down.
Does that mean dry land will go up a little then?
Nope.
I'm
not doing anything. So I'm going to need a lot of people behind me if I get called in. No, I think I'm going to be okay. We've sent in tons and tons of preliminaries and looking forward to some of the going forward from September through the end of the year. We're writing some reports of what's going on in the marketplace, and so we'll see. It's just kind of unsure what's all happening up there in the legislature, so... we knew this day was going to come when I couldn't get it down as quickly as what it did go down. But with some of the sales that we verified, and Lloyd Dickinson worked pretty good with me, and we really tried to, really go after some of the sales and see what we could do. So there's some sales that I did throw out that were real questionable as far as whether they were arm's length. So we'll see where it goes. I get called in, and yeah. Then we'll have to just see what, because it's not only hitting the median level of value in Area 1 and Area 2, it's also, if you've got enough sales, hitting the median level of value on irrigated, dry, and grass, and that's where it gets complicated. Then they do an 80% land use, which if 80% of the farm ground is mostly irrigated, then you have another, sector to hit, so... We'll just see. Residential seems to be, I did not have to raise anything this year, but I did go into some neighborhoods in Beatrice. We haven't been in there for a long time, and I felt that Daryl and I did some analysis. We have a lot more computer systems now where we can, you know, as you upgrade and you go forward over time, because as of Monday, I was here 39 years, and compared to what it was 39 years ago, it was amazing the things that we couldn't do that we can do now with the queries and see what part of the neighborhoods in Beatrice, what part of the style of homes were, you know. And the residential is starting to rebound a little bit as far as especially Beatrice. You know, not so much. We did do some increases in Wymore last year. Courtland and Claytonia and some of those are seeing some increases, but the key is always having 10 sales in your evaluation grouping to make sure that there's a good array of sales so that you can determine what's going on.
When you don't, you brought that up when we were talking about Beatrice or whatever, the 2 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago or whenever. What happens when you don't, in some of the smaller communities to have, I call it, if you have older houses or newer houses, what happens when you don't have 10 sales then? Do you do nothing
We sometimes, because like in Blue Springs, you can have a lot value that's $100 and it sells for $300. That makes a ratio real crazy. And so you have to go in and you have to figure out where you can clean some of that up and know that that's not a measurable sale. You know, so we might have two sales and it looks like a median level of value is $129, which you have to be between $92 and $100. So you can go into those small things and clean them up.
Clean them up.
And see that. And then you have, over the past, it used to be a good sale, bad sale. Now it's good sale, bad sale, substantially changed sale, like if somebody went in and remodeled, but it sold for this, then you say substantially changed, so you really don't measure that sale. Then you also go to one that says you really can't measure it at all, because there's just a 100 lot sale to 300 is not really any indication of what's going on. And I mean, that is what some of the small towns are. And so,
But I mean, and just pick a town though, like Cortland. If they only had 7 sales for the year,
and if the median's like at 85, I'm out. But the Turk will not look at it because 7 sales is not enough of a sample to say Cortland needs to go up. Now, with that being said, we go into those 7 sales and see what kind of houses we're looking at, and they could be all over the place. One thing you'll see on commercial is you have a lot of occupancy codes. So when you see commercial sitting at 100%, that means we're looking at gas stations, we're looking at just all different types of commercial. So always keep in mind that's not an average. That's the sales arrayed and the median level of value. So even if you see 100%, it doesn't mean that. Once again, there's a lot that are under that. There could be a few that are over that. There could be some that are right on. So that's the way the assessment process works, and, you know, nobody's come to a different idea yet. So that's our best, you know, use of what we do with the – but with our computer systems, we can query. We can query down to an age of a house, like what homes and what neighborhoods are under-assessed, you know, for what they're selling for. I think this year we looked at a lot of the 1980 to 1999. So those are kind of the ranch styles in the middle. You really get into the country club area and a lot of those. There's not been a lot of sales in a lot of those parts of town. And, you know, when you really think about it, those houses look fairly, but those homes are have been out there for quite a long time.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
You have pointed out that you've had a lot of older remodeled, redecorated two-story homes, 2.5-story homes that have sold. And I know you've looked at that.
Yeah, and, you know, the big thing is we still pretty much need to get in, and I guess that's where a little bit of a lot of the assessors across the state are, because a lot of them aren't getting into the properties any longer. And
But how often do you do that? You know, Lincoln up here, he reevaluated this year or whatever, or he was going to. At least that's what you read in the paper. How often do you – I thought you said once every 6 years you need
to
physically
– Yeah, I have to – we have to, like, Bob Thomas, you know, evidently retirement isn't everything it's cracked up to be. So last year he takes a sheet from my office, like a sheet that tells all the characteristics of the property. And then he walks the town of Beatrice, snaps a picture, marks down, looks like new windows, looks like new siding, looks like new roof. But most of the assessors still, unless something is very much changed, we do leave a call back if we think that we need to get into that property. But, you know, I think they're going to address some of that, too, to see, you know, because people just, you're not getting in them anymore.
Yeah, they don't want them in.
You're
yeah.
getting in them when they're first built, like when the contractors are there and you can, go talk to somebody. But after that, they're not. So we'll just kind of see. I mean, hopefully, you know, we get a call back, and a lot of people are good about it, and a lot of people just don't want us on the property. Yep. Do the best we can.
Then I had a half-an-hour visit with a guy last night. He has an irrigated farm. He irrigates out of a pond, and he does have the 15%, what you call irrigation, limited irrigation or whatever, what you're doing on that. But he says right now his pond's maybe a third to a half full. What happens if he doesn't get to irrigate this year at all?
Then he should contact me, as long as he hasn't applied water as of January 1st. January 1st is still the deadline.
This next January 1st, though.
Well, has he applied? Okay.
See, last year he irrigated.
So he was irrigated. So right. If he doesn't apply any water this year, then he can let me know.
Then let you know. And
the thing of it is he lets me know how has he certified it at the FSA office.
Yeah.
So the certification at the FSA office, because
even if he certified it irrigated out there,
then that could be, we'd have to talk about that.
Then you'd have to talk about it. But I mean, he was concerned, and I mean he's from the eastern part of the county, but he was concerned that there isn't going to be any water in that pond this year. Now, unless we have some good spring rains, so he said, if I don't irrigate it, will I still be valued next year at irrigation? As irrigation.
Yeah, and that it's how he certifies, and he'll just have him come talk to me, and we'll see what happens.
But you have to certify already in June. That's the problem. Never knows whether he irrigates or not.
Mm-hmm. We'll just have to make a decision.
So what you're saying is then next year he needs to certify his dry land. No, I'm no.
You know, well, that gets to be a real problem, I can see, for your office.
And
you decertify it as irrigated land, and then how do you go through all of your land and recertify it as irrigated the next year?
Yeah, you'd be changing it.
I think if you're irrigated, I don't care if you didn't have rain or any water in the pond, you're irrigated, and you pay the same on one year as you do the next.
And Myron,
I think it's ridiculous that you lower it.
This is the thing. I can't, you know, it's like when it rained too much, it flooded. When it, you know, but in the years that it didn't, I mean, there's so many scenarios. So we just have to, you know, talk about it. I usually seek, you know, some advice from what other assessors have done to be consistent.
But you're not going to sell it for less than irrigated land if you sell it that year.
Well, no, it wouldn't bring the same price as if you had a 1,000-gallon-a-minute well on it, because it's got limited. I mean, most people when they buy it, they would look at the water availability when you buy as irrigated. It would bring higher than dry land, but it wouldn't bring as high as, I'll just say this, if you had a good well out there and you knew every year you weren't limited by water. That does make a difference when you buy it.
And one thing we did do a few years ago, we talked about that because, you know, the people that were on had the senior permits on the river versus the junior permits. You know, we had a taxpayer from the southern part of Gage County that got caught up in some of that. And, you know, then he just took irrigation completely off. You know, it wasn't probably a good thing to buy a pivot, so he sold it. But, you know, they have not addressed it. They address it, but we never come to a conclusion of what to really do. So,
in other words, you'd be having to basically reevaluate those all the time.
Yeah, and I haven't made a. I mean, we haven't done a lot of that. The 15% generally is if it's coming from another water source across the road. That's generally when I use 15%, and I'm probably one of the only ones that has done that. A lot of assessors don't even recognize that 15.
The one up in our area, though, that only has like a 250-gallon a minute well, and he has to pump into a pond or something. And I think, I can't remember, this is several years ago I visited with you. I think there, too, you maybe did that. But because of the availability of the water, you know. So there was, and I understand all those. So
you know, and a few years ago when we had, probably within the last 10 years, irrigation has really gotten strong in Gage County. We never used to have very many irrigation at all. So, I mean, it's really...
I thought at one of the meetings we went to in the last couple of years, Paul Hayes said we were 18 or 19% irrigated, but I don't know if that's quite right. You had to be 25 in the new farm program to qualify for a certain part of that program, and we were not at that in Gage County. So. But we were definitely quite a bit higher than we were 10 years ago. Yeah. So... Okay. Anything else? If not, we'll adjourn at 8:47. Thank you, Patty.